This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Post-draft, what Cowboys position groups do you feel good about? And I'm probably not going to say the word again, but instead, I'm going to turn it over to the Buffalo Bills GM, Brandon Bean, because he uses this word a shocking amount of time in a short period of time. So Brandon Bean called into, well, one of our sister stations to talk about the draft, and he felt like in the minute or two leading up to it, he was not pleased with their lack of faith and lack of excitement over the draft. And use one specific word many times. Let's see if you can figure it out.
I was just listening the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very, how so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, we just scored, hold on, let me talk. Scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers, but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, I don't – like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
4 times. So,
you think whenever he's at the offices at Buffalo that he cusses less, or do you think that he uses that frequently?
No, that feels like his go-to.
Okay, all right.
Phrase for sure. And so I just wanted to play that because I think it's fun. But also, post-draft, which Cowboys positions do you feel good about, and which ones lead you down the path of the Bills GM?
I guess wide receiver leads me down that path, which is funny.
I don't know if I need to play that clip again for you, all right? Relax.
And as we discussed earlier, the Cowboys, they feel comfortable, but Kevin, not comfortable enough to not have the discussion with other teams about trading for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So obviously there is conversation going on about what they can do to make the team better. And if you're looking at this thing right now, Kevin, and saying that you kind of hit the reset button on the backup offensive linemen, they have 17 offensive linemen signed to this team right now on their roster.
Is that right?
17 offensive linemen.
Awesome.
It's ridiculous. But if you kind of look at, all right, we're replacing this guy. Then this team is kind of resetting itself a little bit. I mean, think of it that way, where they've moved on from some things. They have a new head coach. He obviously has to build something pretty quickly. And with his wide receiver, he's probably looking at it going, I know what I got with CeeDee, but I don't trust anything else yet. Guys, y'all, I need a little bit of help here. And the Cowboys, in a year where they want to prop up their head coach,
right,
not demolish him, or like whatever you need, we can try and give it to you. And give him the credit. Give Schottenheimer the credit for being right there in the mix of it all. Not going and hanging out somewhere else while everybody's doing the scouting work. Schottenheimer's right there trying to get it all done. So I do feel I feel better about the offensive line than I have. So after they added him, after they added Booker at the right guard spot, I feel like the middle of this offensive line is very strong. I still have concern about the tackles, but I feel like the middle of the offensive line and the 85 backups that they have are good. So that's the strongest position I actually feel about right now.
And see, for me, it depends. If you're alive, if you feel okay breaking up the defensive line as a whole, then I feel pretty stoked about our edge position right now.
I'm with you, man.
And so that's what I would go with. And if you're like, nah, you got to take the whole package. Well, look, I understand there's still some potential flaws there, but I feel a lot better about the defensive line, specifically the edge position after this. Like
your rotation there is going to be very strong.
Oh my God.
Your rotation at defensive end is going to be very strong. And hopefully Sam Williams doesn't, I can't explain or predict what he's going to be.
Yeah.
I know physically the traits are insane.
Yeah.
Like he's a giant physically. He's faster than he should be. And he can get to the ball carrier or ball thrower, whoever it is, very fast. But it's the other things that are a big question mark of, we just got a 7-yard loss on that play and then also a 15-yard penalty.
So for me, what I'm going to go Bills GM on right here is it's still the running back. And the reason why I differentiate my frustration with running back from wide receiver, because as we all know, like they're two very clear holes. You don't have a running back one and you don't have a wide receiver two. Look, the Jones family can come on here and say they disagree with that all they like. That's fine. My opinion, and the correct opinion, is that they do not have a running back one or a wide receiver two. The thing that bothers me more is I see more options for wide receiver two out there. Now, I know, like, whether it's Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, that's already driving some people crazy, but I really don't want ETN to, like, come in here and I'm like, great. So you have another one that I'm like...
It's a combination of all the other guys, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's what was frustrating for me for running back. And I know they did take Blue, and I know he is a speedster. He's not running back one.
It doesn't matter how much you like Blue or how much you like Maffa, okay? Those guys were picked on day three for a reason.
Yeah.
And as what we want him to be, like we want Jaden Blue to be, like everybody has this idea of if he can hold on to the ball... That speed, and I agree, the speed can be a game changer. He might be able to be a game changer out of the backfield as a receiver, too. That is a distinct possibility for him. But the complete backs go in the top of the first round. The complete backs go earlier than day three.
Yes.
And so that's what you're dealing with. You have to understand and accept that there are some things missing from his skill set. The rest of your running backs are also missing things from their skill set. That's why they were free agents.
Yeah.
Or that's why they just haven't caught on yet, because they aren't complete yet. And so you have a bunch of incomplete pieces that you have to try and figure out how to get on the field at the right times.
From the 469, isn't it Dak's responsibility to make Mingo and Tolbert the number two and three receivers? He's getting all the money. Romo made receivers. All right. Let's take a couple of steps back. If you want to compare to Romo, we can definitely do that, because I actually did think that there were multiple receivers that Tony Romo made better. It's just, I understand their point, but this feels like Cowboys logic that I really don't like. You overpaid Dak. That's a fact. Like, that cannot possibly be disputed after what Josh Allen did. Like, that's just a cold, hard fact. And so you can't use the fact that you overpaid and say, now I want you to magically develop even more skills than you've displayed. I think Dak can raise the level of certain wide receivers for certain amounts of time. For him to say, I'm going to raise up Mingo and Tolbert another level, or maybe even two position levels from where they should be, I just do not think that's reasonable for him, especially coming off of an injury. So you spent the money, you spent it incorrectly, and now you have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think saying, well, Dak should be able to do that if he's getting paid all the money, should, but he won't.
Yeah.
Not for a season. It's not going
to
happen.
It is always weird. And it has been a Cowboys history, hasn't it? To be like, once we pay them.
Yeah.
Or once they put that star in their helmet, they'll be different.
Yeah. And guess what?
Somebody said from the 214, if we get Bryce Hall, I would love Bryce Hall. I would love to have
Breece
that.
Hall?
Breece Hall. Yeah, I'm sorry. They said Bryce. I would love Breece Hall. That kind of talent in the backfield would be an absolute blast to run with.
And does it feel like... you would give him a real shot, or you would feel more comfortable with him as running back?
He would be your one, yes.
Okay.
Immediately.
And I understand the
injury. And then you're trying to figure out, because Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams are two completely different running backs. And I don't know where Deuce Vaughn fits into this, or Malik Davis. I don't know where they fit into it, but they haven't been good enough yet to be the starter for this team who was missing a running back. So that's where I'm still kind of lost in that conversation. Sorry to take that away.
No, not at all.
Yes, there are plenty of good ones on days two and three. The great ones typically go in the first round. And the ones that are going to walk onto the field and be starters almost immediately go in the first round. That's the point. The guys that are on days two and three, a lot of times, mostly on days three, have to work harder to get seen by the team.
Alec, is there a particular position that you feel pretty confident about with the Cowboys position group wise post draft, or is there one that you would like to make the Bills GM phone call and that's how you feel?
I feel like one that's not getting talked about enough as a positive is what you did with the corner position and getting Revel.
I agree with that.
I think he's fantastic. If it wasn't for a pretty big knee injury, then he would have been a, you know, mid to top of the first round kind of guy. He's incredible. The way he trails receivers, the plays he can make on the football, he's really, really good. You found yourself a starter there at corner if he can stay healthy. That's going to be really fun to watch. The defensive line, I think, got better throughout the draft as well. But I will, it's the low-hanging fruit. I'm going to keep pointing at the running back position because, like you said, there's not a clear running back one. And I like that Jaden Blue, even in his first availability, admitted, like, hey, if I got to come in and be a running back by committee guy, I understand that. If I come in and win the job out of camp, cool. Either way, we're going to try to win some football games with whatever combination we need. You're probably going to need a pretty, you know, ever-changing combination of running backs throughout the season, of whether it's just health or production overall, like you're kind of even seeing with the Rangers lineup. You can point to that similar thing. You're gonna have to make some changes throughout this season depending on who's hot and who's not at the running back position, because there isn't a clear-cut guy now. Like Corey said, Breece Hall could change all of that. He would be your clear-cut running back one day one if that trade were to be made. That's not a free agent. You got to make some things move and some things shake for that to happen. Right now, I do think Blue can develop into something, but right now, you don't have a clear leader in that running back room, which is disappointing considering how deep this class really was.
Now, are you okay if I pivot over to something else? All right.
Oh, pivotal game five last night for the Stars, Kevin.
Yes.
Pivotal!
That is... I don't know if everyone knows that. We joke about that all the time, is how many times you hear that word, and then how many times you'll be like, oh, pivotal game two. And you're like, okay, then they're all pivotal.
Game one's a must win.
Yeah, okay, then they're all pivotal. It's the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, I had an amazing conversation with my wife. We were talking about...
Good for you, man. Not everybody gets to do that.
We were talking about one of the basketball series, and I was like, you know, I'm not like super invested in Bucks Pacers. And she goes, oh, is this an important game? And then she stopped and goes, well, it's a playoff, so I guess they're probably all important. And I was like, yes, exactly. I had a couple more baseball notes for you. Did you see the next stadium that the Savannah Bananas took over?
No, I didn't.
They took over Clemson's football stadium and had a crowd of 81,000 people there for that.
Wow, that's, dude, I'm telling you, man. I don't know that you say, let's load up 162, and those guys would fill up every single time.
Sure,
but very similar to the Globetrotters, it's an entertaining sight when you get there.
And I can't wait to see how the rest of the year plays out. But this year, they're scheduled to play in 40 cities, including multiple NFL stadiums and 17 Major League Baseball stadiums. And then there's this. Here's our happy Ranger stat of the day, since, you know, I don't really have a lot of those to present to you. Jacob Lats. So last week, Jacob Lats generated a 0.3 war in his season debut against the A's. Just for that, 4 1/3 scoreless innings out of the bullpen in relief of Rocker. That is tremendous, right?
Yes.
Now, to be fair, I need to tell you the flip side of it. At the time, his war of 0.3 from that one game right there was better than all but five position players on the Texas Rangers roster.
Now, dude? This seems so weird that you're bringing this. This hurts my soul.
I know, but
here I am thinking our pitching is going to save us.
Hey, look, you got DeGrom and Eovaldi, and we were talking about this off air. Man, we really need them to come through. Okay. And then what? You're going to win for sure?
Hopefully.
But unless it's a complete game shutout, you're like, either way. Like, if I set the over under.
How many times do you think the Rangers have only scored one run?
A lot. Like, just look back at the last week or so, right?
They've scored no runs a lot, too.
Yeah, okay. So I set the over under. I'm not kidding. I set the over on Rangers runs tonight, scored at 2.5.
That seems like an easy play. It seems like an easy play.
What is your answer?
Under.
See?
Like I feel like two. I mean, even Boach. That's depressing. Isn't that Boach's line? He was like, I got to get off this two number here.
Yes.
We got to stop doing this.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know what? Again, I hope they score 10 runs. Boach loves the numbers. We can bring that to him. It's like, I'm sorry. Yesterday, I set the over-under at 2.5. I think he would chuckle, but only if they scored a lot of runs and won the game.
He does like looking at the lines.
Yes, he does.